As I look across the landscape of contemporary actors, I cannot think of anyone else but you who has the ability to make Barbossa simply delicious. This is a big pirate movie that turns the genre on its head. Rush loved the reference to simply delicious. All that remained was the issue of budget. Eisner had groaned when Cook presented him with the notion of a $120 million period costume drama on the high seas, a recipe for disaster. Every recent pirate movie had failed, including 1980's The Island, based on a Peter Benchley novel that Eisner had tried to buy while he was still at Paramount. Thankfully, he'd been outbid by Universal. Cutthroat Island with Gina Davis was a 1995 flop. Why would this be any different? Eisner rejected the idea out of hand. Bruckheimer called him repeatedly. Finally, Eisner agreed to attend a meeting at Bruckheimer's luxurious offices in Santa Monica, but he was still determined to kill the project. Bruckheimer had assembled storyboards and drawings of the major scenes, the Island of the Dead, the Caribbean port under siege, the skeletons underwater and on the moonlit pirate ship. After getting a tour and running commentary from Verbinski, Eisner sat down. "I love it," he said. "Why does it have to cost so much?" "Your competition is spending $150 million, Bruckheimer countered, ticking off projects like The Matrix and The Lord of the Rings, franchise films that were allowing Warner Brothers to dominate at the box office. Disney desperately needed a franchise of its own. Eisner shook his head in exasperation. "The theme park is a drawback," he said, Country Bears still in mind. "Let's move this away from the park." If only he knew, Verbinski thought. With Depp as Jack Sparrow, there was no danger that anyone would confuse this film with the charming but tame Disneyland ride. It was no wonder Eisner was worried about a $120 million budget for a pirate movie. As the summer of 2002 unfolded, forces beyond their control buffeted Disney and Eisner. Economists confirmed that a recession had begun even before the terrorist attacks of September 11th. Investor and public confidence had been shaken by an unprecedented series of corporate scandals, beginning with Enron in the fall and continuing with WorldCom, Tyco, Adelphia, and HealthSouth. It was the dark side to the booming 1990s, the stock market decline that began with the bursting of the internet bubble in the spring of 2000 had turned into a rout, with the technology-heavy NASDAQ index losing an unprecedented 80% of its value. Eisner's view of the AOL-Time Warner merger was vindicated when AOL stock turned out to be the inflated paper he had always claimed it was. In the midst of an SEC investigation into accounting fraud at AOL, Gerald Levin was forced to resign. A shareholder initiative to withhold support for the re-election of Chairman and Director Steve Case garnered about 22% of the total, not enough to force his ouster, but a shocking vote of no confidence nonetheless. Bowing to the inevitable, Case resigned on May 16, 2003. By these standards, Eisner and Disney seemed like pillars of ethical and prudent behavior. However much Disney had lost on its own failed internet venture, it paled in comparison to Time Warner, whose deal with AOL was now widely derided as the worst deal in business history. And yet Eisner was drawn into the vortex. A common theme